Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Agenda Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, taking a bite-sized look at some of the big Liverpool FC talking points.
Hello and welcome back to the latest edition of The Agenda here on the Blood Red Channel. I'm your host, Edward Kay, and today joining me, I've got Liverpool.com's very own Matt Addison. And we're going to be taking a look at what Liverpool's dream midfield recruitment, most likely in the summer, let's face it, are they going to get in another midfielder in January? Who knows? But what the ideal recruit in summer would look like for the Reds. And we're going to start by taking a look at the ideal age Liverpool sort of want to be recruiting at. Obviously, Matt, we usually see Liverpool buying players the right side of 25, 26. Do you see that changing this summer?
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think there's a number of factors that come into it with this one. I think that the age is one of the most important of those factors. I think you'd look at the way that the Liverpool squad is made up in midfield at the moment. I think there's too many players who are very, very good, but not quite ready to be in that team every single week. You think of Harvey Elliott, I think, has played pretty much every game this season. It might even be every game he's played a part in up to this point. And you know, he's just not at the age where you need to be putting that sort of pressure on him. Similarly, Fabio Carvalho, who we've not really seen too much of recently, but did play a lot more towards the start of the season. And Stefan Bacicic as well is another one that you'd think has got a big future ahead of him potentially, but you don't want to be putting too much pressure on his shoulders at the moment. Spoke to the under-21s manager over the weekend, and he suggested that the reason that he didn't play Bacicic on Saturday night for Liverpool's senior team was because he's just played a bit too much football recently. And so, you know, we have to look at those things and balance those things. But then at the same time, you'd look at the legs of Fabinho and Thiago and all of those guys. It's just not quite happening for them at the moment. Jordan Henderson as well in that same bracket of maybe being a little bit past their best. So, yeah, I think Liverpool have to go and get a couple of players in that mid-range. Obviously, the exception to that is Jude Bellingham, who's still only 19. He's not in that middle of the road kind of age group. But I think with him, you almost have to look at it as not his age in terms of his actual number of years old. I think you've got to look at him in terms of the experience and how many seasons of football he's played. It'll be two or three seasons of Champions League football. He's been a regular for Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga in that time. He's a 19-year-old, but he's not really, is he? He's more like a 23, 24-year-old. You think of Darwin Nunez when he came to Liverpool, I think 23 years of age he was at the time. Had only played one season of football, really, for Benfica at that level. Jude Bellingham has already got more than that under his belt. So realistically, he's 19, but he's not really. So, yeah, lots of things for Liverpool to think about. But, yeah, they have to find a way of bridging that gap. And it goes back to what we've been saying for probably 2 or 3 years now, if we're being honest. They probably should have started this process a little bit sooner so that they didn't have to do it all in one go, but that's the position they find themselves in. I've not given up hope completely that it might be in January, but like you say, far more likely to come in the summer.
Yeah, and it will most likely be those players that are sort of the right side of 26. Obviously, the only real midfield signing the Reds have made over the last few years, Thiago, was the wrong side of 26. I think he was 29 when Liverpool signed him. Yeah. And while nobody's going to argue he's been an unbelievable player and gets Anfield purring more than anybody else on occasion, but he's not exactly propelled the Reds to new heights since he arrived, in all fairness. They'd already won pretty much everything before he arrived, and a lot of people pointing out that since his arrival, maybe it's become a more technical Reds midfield, and that's probably part of his age, shows that physicality is sort of lacking in his game. Do you think that that's been a bit of a cautionary tale for the Reds, and that's maybe another reason why they will look to be the right side of 26?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I think he has added to Liverpool's midfield in the sense that he's changed it. I think, you know, you might look back at his time at Liverpool so far and say it's not quite worked out for him, or it's not quite been the impact that he wanted to have made. But I don't think that's necessarily on him. I think that's more the fact that he's had to maybe do a bit more of the off the ball work, or he's had to be in a midfield that the legs have basically fallen off this season. So I don't think it's necessarily a cautionary tale in that you don't go and get Thiago. But I think if they were to go and do a similar deal for a similar type of player in future, you've got to do it in a sensible way. You can't just say, well, let's lose Gini Wijnaldum and bring him in. You've got to do it in a way where there's enough cover, there's enough other people, there's enough, you know, bodies in there to be able to rotate and rest. And for me, I think Thiago has been a success. The issue really has been everyone else. The issue has been that Naby Keita is the one that could kind of deputise for him and do a similar-ish job to him in terms of being able to keep the possession. But as Liverpool's fourth choice midfielder, he just hasn't been fit enough, as we know. We don't need to go down that path again. We know that the situation with his injuries, we know the situation with his contract as well. I think if Liverpool had had, let's say, a player like Naby Keita but was fit all of the time, I think we'd probably look back at possibly Thiago's Liverpool career in a different way. So, yeah, it's one of those where I'm not necessarily against Liverpool going and getting those players, but it's almost similar with Fabinho. I think we had similar conversations in the summer of kind of, well, what happens if Fabinho gets an injury, which, you know, pretty much every season he's been at Liverpool, he's had a period of 4 or 5 weeks where he's been out with something. What do Liverpool do then? Can you play Jordan Henderson twice a week for a sustained period of time? Well, no, we knew that anyway, but certainly the evidence has been there this season. There was already a conversation around not having enough cover for these players. Jordan Henderson, at the age he is, I think you had to kind of phase him out. Possibly the idea was that Harvey Elliott would do that, but then the balance has been disrupted. For me, it comes back really to the depth. We knew even last season when Liverpool went all the way in all four competitions, the first choice midfield was great last season and it really worked. And you had Naby Keita who was fit, but I still think they needed one more. And I think it's not really in hindsight now that we look back and say that. We did say similar things in the summer, and unfortunately for Liverpool, it's proven to be true.
Yeah, so we'll move on from the age of the kind of recruits that Liverpool are going to be trying to bring in. And you mentioned Gini Wijnaldum there, and I wanted to come on to him because even though it's a little while since he left the club now, I find myself talking about him more than ever at the moment with regards to the kind of midfielder Liverpool should be bringing in. Do you think that's exactly the sort of profile of player Liverpool are going to be looking to bring into the midfield in summer?
I think it's one of the profiles. I do think, again, you've got to caveat this with it's not really worked since in the way that they intended, but I don't think it was the worst thing to move him on, because he, again, is another player who's, what, 32 maybe at this point in time. I think he's one of those that it wasn't the worst idea to move him on, even though he did have a perfect injury record and he did do a lot of excellent things for Liverpool. But the mistake really was not going out and getting someone who could do something similar. I think Mateus Nunez might be that in the summer. I think, you know, the ability to kind of alleviate that pressure and just keep hold of the ball for a little bit. We saw it for Wolves a little bit on Saturday. We've certainly seen it for Sporting Lisbon, his previous club, in the past. I think he's one that you'd look at and think he's kind of a bit more on the technical side, but he can do similar-ish things to Gini Wijnaldum. They're not the same player, but I do think that they could kind of see similarities within the functions of those two. So the issue really is you've got to find probably at least two, maybe three. Jude Bellingham can do a little bit of everything in terms of tactically. He can play in all of the positions. He's got an excellent injury record. He's at a good age where he can kick on. He's got the experience. But then possibly you'd look at someone like Nunez coming in with him. Possibly then you'd need one more as well. I don't know, you know, quite what the scope is going to look like, but Liverpool are going to lose Naby Keita probably. I think you can possibly say that him and Wijnaldum is the kind of Mateus Nunez sort of angle. Jude Bellingham is kind of the game changer, but then you're still lacking a little bit, that sort of number six who can play if Fabinho isn't at his best still next season, possibly even in the first 11, but certainly as a kind of rotational option to play as that sort of lone holding midfielder in that midfield three for Liverpool. So, you know, even if Liverpool were to get Bellingham and Nunez, you'd think possibly there's even room for one more. But whether they've got the finances to do that, whether they want to go down that path, I don't know. But they have left themselves, I think, with a lot of tactical questions. Probably the first tactical question actually is to decide actually what do they want from these players? What do they think their midfield looks like next season? What options do they need to have? what sort of skills do they not have at the moment? And like we've both said now, the kind of more technical side of things, I think, is taken care of. We've seen links with Tom Koopmeiners at Atalanta. Good player, but I think he's probably slightly on the attacking side. You think of Carvalho and Jones and Elliott. There's enough of those kinds of players. I think what Liverpool have to do is get, firstly, the age profile right, but then tactically, I think they need something different to what they've got now, because quite clearly, what they've got now isn't quite working. The balance isn't quite there.
The Agenda on the Blood Red Channel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and do you think there's an argument that in that position, you know, maybe a covering number six, with Liverpool obviously not having the biggest of budgets compared to the likes of City in the transfer market, do you think there's an argument that the James Milner role might need filling? You know, going out and signing sort of a seasoned pro who can come in, you know, maybe around the age of 30, something like that, who can come in just for a couple seasons with Milner probably on his way out? Or do you think Jordan Henderson slots into that role in the future for Liverpool?
Yeah, I suppose that would be the ideal thing, wouldn't it, that Jordan Henderson becomes that. But then Jordan Henderson probably at the moment is in Liverpool's first choice 11. You'd think of the team that played on Saturday night is probably the team that Jurgen Klopp would have said was his strongest on paper. And that's, you know, probably not going to change too much moving forwards. Obviously, there's a couple of injuries elsewhere on the pitch at the moment that could change things. But I think, you know, still at this time, Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago, next season, I wouldn't expect that to be, you know, completely different. I think possibly if you bring Jude Bellingham in, he obviously will go into that, and possibly Jordan Henderson's then relegated to being the fourth or the fifth choice. But it's one of those where you can't almost think of it like that, because, you know, James Milner's played quite a lot of football this season for Liverpool. He's been, you know, so far down the pecking order at the start of the season, but quite quickly, two or three injuries in different places, and suddenly he's been in the team, not necessarily always in his favoured position, but, you know, he's played quite a lot of games for somebody of his age. I think he's 37 now, I think I'm right. I think it was his birthday last week. And, you know, for someone of that age to be playing that much football, I just think speaks volumes for the number of issues that Liverpool have had, really. So, yeah, Jordan Henderson ideally would take on that role, but at the same time, it would be, you know, quite a leap, I think, to make him go from basically being maybe the third choice down to fifth or sixth. You are looking at having to spend quite a lot of money in the summer. And Liverpool, I do think, have to do that, but whether they will do that, I don't know. Whether the situation with the sale of the club and all of that thing, you know, that can change over the next few months, but at the moment, you're looking at it and thinking, well, Bellingham's going to cost, you know, maybe nine figures. How much other money is there going to be for Liverpool? And I think we're going to come onto it in a little bit, but I'd be looking to go and sign a forward as well. So, yeah, I've got quite a shopping list for the summer.
Yeah, well, that's the perfect introduction to bring you on to the price then, really, isn't it? And I think I know what your answer is going to be, really, but how much money do you think Klopp needs in the summer, and how much money do you think he's going to be given in the summer? Do you think it's, you know, a bit of a war chest needed, really? And do you think, I mean, obviously it's all owner dependent, really, isn't it? Who knows who the owners of Liverpool will be in summer? Probably still FSG, hopefully with more investors. But yeah, do you think he's going to get the money that he needs?
Well, quite how much money it is quite a hard one to answer. I know Jamie Carragher said, I think a couple of weeks ago, that it might take 200 million or whatever the figure was, certainly something around that. And it is hard to argue with that. But then Liverpool have never really spent that much. You can kind of talk yourself around into circles, can't you? Because on the one hand, they've never spent that much before. But then you think, well, they did have a bit of a spree in 2018. Then you think they've not really spent much so far since then. So maybe the money is there for them to go and do it. I think there is definitely scope for them to go and spend big. And I think they really do need to do that. But, you know, it will depend on a number of factors. I think it will depend, you know, how much Borussia Dortmund ultimately demand for Jude Bellingham. I think Liverpool will definitely be in that conversation. I think there's a decent chance of them winning that race as well if they get into the top four and make the Champions League. But it's then a case of what else do you need to do? I think possibly there's maybe a mid-range. I mean, Mateus Nunez, I think, is sort of 44, 45 million, I think, is kind of what's being talked about. I think there's probably scope to get Bellingham and him, for example. But if you're then going for one more, or maybe if your second choice is a little bit more expensive, it then becomes a little bit more difficult. So, yeah, there's a lot of factors to come into it. A lot of it, I think, will depend really on the profile that Liverpool go for. Maybe there's a way that you can get, instead of three new midfielders, you can get Bellingham and then one that can play as a six and an eight, and you kind of do two in one and cut a bit of a corner on that one. But yeah, they're going to have to spend, if not 200 million, then certainly something close to that to fix these problems. Because, you know, like we've been saying now for a good number of weeks, it's not going to be the case that Jude Bellingham comes in and suddenly Liverpool look perfect again. They are going to have to go and get two or three, move two or three out. And that's the other thing as well that comes into the budget, is you think ordinarily FSG's model is to sell players to fund, you know, future purchases. You think of Sadio Mane and Takumi Minamino in the summer. They basically made the money back on Darwin Nunez between, you know, those two and a couple of others. So, yeah, the fact that Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner are going, they're not going to make any money out of those. It does make it a little bit more difficult, but that's the position they've backed themselves in. They've not spent the money up to this point in terms of the reinvestments, and yeah, they're just going to have to deal with that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'll bring you on to sort of some options that Liverpool might be looking to now. And obviously we've thrown a fair few names out already, the likes of Mateus Nunez. I'm going to stick with the Premier League for now. Obviously, Caicedo, one being linked from Brighton quite heavily. And then also World Cup winner Alexis McAllister from Brighton. So do you think that Liverpool are going to look to recruit from within the Premier League, or do you think they'll be looking further afield instead?
I think it will purely come down to where the value is, which would suggest to me that probably they won't end up going to Brighton to get either Caicedo or Alexis McAllister. I've said it so many times, but you only have to look at what they got for Mark Cucurella last summer. I think it was 63 million for him. It's done basically nothing for Chelsea. I think they signed him for about 13 or 14 million the year before. Just hasn't proven to be good value, but Brighton are not going to let these players go cheaply. They're in a strong position. They've already, you know, got the money in. Ben White was another one that Liverpool did look at, but ultimately moves to Arsenal for £50 million, and Liverpool are just not going to go near those sorts of price tags for those kinds of players. So, yeah, it's a tricky one to know really where the value will lie. I think they've got to kind of work out the profile and kind of go from there. Like I said before, maybe there's a corner that you can cut somewhere and get a kind of two-in-one type player, but it's hard to know really where to turn. I think if it was me, I'd probably be looking at someone like Declan Rice. I think he's one that could maybe play as a six and an eight, would solve a bit of an issue with the homegrown thing as well if Milner and Oxlade-Chamberlain move on. Obviously, if Bellingham came in, that would be part of the solution, but Liverpool can't afford to lose too many English players, because I don't know the exact numbers, but there's Premier League and Champions League regulations around how many players have to be homegrown, so that will come into it. But again, you just think, how much is he going to cost? There's going to be a lot of competition for him as well. So, yeah, there's no kind of obvious outstanding candidate, Bellingham aside, really, for Liverpool to be looking at. And I suppose that would be their argument as to why they've not done it up to this point. If there was, you know, an easy solution for them to just go out and get and spend the money, I'm sure they would have done that. But, yeah, Moises Caicedo is a good player, but how much is he going to cost? Probably 60, 70 million. Alexis McAllister, again, I've liked watching him this season. I thought he was excellent at the World Cup, but again, he's probably in that similar sort of bracket. Is he exactly what Liverpool need? Possibly. I'm not 100% convinced on that, but he's certainly not, you know, a player that you'd look in, you know, record amounts of money for. So, yeah, it is a hard one. They're going to have to pull something out of the bag. Like I say, Declan Rice would be the safest option for me, I think, but, would cost an absolute fortune.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be an interesting one, seeing what they do, trying to solve this midfield crisis in the rest of January and hopefully in the summer. But you mentioned earlier some other areas that you think might need improving. I know you said that you'd be looking to bring a forward in as well in the summer. Why is that?
Yeah, so it might be a little bit controversial to say it, but I think it's time for Roberto Firmino to move on at the end of his contract. I think he's at an age where he can't necessarily do as much physically as what he could before. I think we've certainly seen that any time that I've been at Anfield to see him play this season. There's just been a noticeable drop-off, really, in the intensity and the way that he plays. He's obviously scored goals, but those have kind of dried up a little bit. He was out, supposedly, for a game or two, and we haven't seen him in five or six matches. He's had a couple of little injury problems. He spent most of last season injured as well. So I think, for me, it's time to be ruthless with that and move him on. But if they do that, they are going to have to go out and get somebody else in to replace him. And again, it's one of those where if he leaves on a free, you're not exactly bringing in the money. It's not like the Sadio Mane situation where you can sell the player and use that money to reinvest in somebody younger. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. I think it does add to the problems that Liverpool have got to solve. If you're talking about two or three midfielders and a forward, it suddenly becomes very difficult. And Kevin Kelleher kind of hinted that he might have to think about his future at some point. You might then have to go and look for another goalkeeper. If there's other positions, I think, to be honest, sooner rather than later, they're going to have to look at the centre-back situation. Joel Matip out of contract, I think, in 2024. So not loads of time left for him. I don't think they'll be looking at a centre-back in the summer, but I don't think it's going to be too far away that they have to start thinking about that. And suddenly there's a long line of pretty much every position that I've just listed off there that they're going to have to think about. So, yeah, for me, I'd be going out and getting a forward. But, yeah, it's one of those where I think the midfield is the overwhelming sort of priority. And if they don't have the money to do the forward, maybe then you give Firmino the contract and just push that back for, you know, another 12 months and sort that out then. But it's just one of those. The main reason, really, for a forward is that I don't want to have a similar situation to what they've had with the midfield, where they let it go for too long and then they have to do it all at once. I think if you are a little bit more ruthless, possibly with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain last summer, for example, or maybe even the summer before that, if we're being honest, I think if they'd have moved those players on then, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in now. So, yeah, just trying to be a little bit more proactive, but admittedly, they might just not have the funds. They might have left themselves too much to do, so that's not possible.
Yeah, it remains to be seen whether the club will learn from the mistake they made with the midfield and sort of let that forward line stagnate. But hopefully not. Hopefully Darwin Nunez can find his shooting boots, obviously scored against Wolves, and hopefully that's the start of them beginning to flow a bit more for him. But that's all we've got time for on the agenda here today. So, Matt, thanks for joining me, and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Agenda Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.